Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. A call to persevere. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Well, it's good to be here. I was looking back at my record, and I see that the first time I came here was about 40 years ago.
Well, yes,
when I was a very young man. At that time, there was a group called the Reading and District Evangelical Fellowship, and I was the secretary, and Alistair was the chairman. And a number of the meetings were held here. So it's good to be here and visiting you again. I have been here more recently than 40 years ago as well. Let us pray as we come to God's word. Oh, Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in your word. Father, we thank you that we have your word in our language and that we can read it and understand it. And Father, now we pray that you will speak through your word, that you will bless and encourage for your glory. Amen. So we're looking today at this passage from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews was written probably aimed particularly at Christians from a Jewish background to show the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially compared with the Old Testament worship. The Old Testament worship was given by God to point forward to the coming Saviour, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And much of that is explained in the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, the passage that's just been read, we have a call to action based on what Jesus has done and who he is. So I want to look at these verses under 5 points. Firstly, 2 reasons. A new, a living way, what Jesus has done, and our great priest, who Jesus is. And then 3 actions that we are called to draw near, to hold fast to our hope, and to encourage one another. And as we look at these verses, we see that everything is plural. It's let us, it is our, that it is a call not only to us as individuals to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him, but it's also a call for us as a body of believers to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for him. So firstly, our new and living way. The first reason, what Jesus has done. Verses 19 and 20. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. You probably have read about the Old Testament tabernacle and the Old Testament temple. It was designed to show God's holiness. It was difficult for people to come into God's presence. In particular, there was the inner room, or the Holy of Holies, which represented God's very presence, had the Ark of the Covenant, or the mercy seat, which was separated by a thick curtain, emphasizing the difficulty of drawing near. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 to 8, we read, "When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance." The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. It was difficult to enter. Only the high priest, only once a year, only with sacrifice, could he come into what represented the very throne room of God. But now we have our verses from Hebrews chapter 10. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. It's no longer a case of coming into a place that simply represents the presence of God, God's throne room. But through the blood of Jesus, we can enter in to the very throne room of God. That we can enter into the very throne room of God with confidence. In the Old Testament days, the high priest probably didn't have confidence to go into the most holy place. It was so difficult, there were so many restrictions. But we are told that now we have confidence because of the blood of Jesus, because he has paid the penalty for our sins, because he has given us his righteousness. And we're told in verse 20, "by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body." This is a new way. It's a way that the Old Testament believers didn't know. It has been opened up for us. It is a living way because it's through the living Saviour. We're remembering a week ago the Lord Jesus Christ rising from the dead. And he still lives. And because he is living, our way into God's presence is a new and living way. There's no longer a curtain. There's no longer a barrier. That has all been broken down by the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great grace, we can have confidence to come into God's presence. Secondly, our second reason, who Jesus is. Verse 21, we read, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God," the book of Hebrews again and again teaches us about the Old Testament priesthood and about the Lord Jesus Christ as our great, as our perfect priest. in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28, we read, "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And like the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever." Who Jesus is? Well, he's compared with the Old Testament priests. The Old Testament priests were mortal. They all died. They were sinners. They needed to offer sacrifices for their own sins. But as Hebrews 7 tells us, that Jesus always lives. He never dies, and he always intercedes for his people. He always speaks for them. He always represents his people. And he speaks for those who come to God through him. Hebrews 7:25. Those are the people who he sacrificed for. Those are the people that he speaks for. Those are his people, are those who come to God through him, through his sacrifice. Maybe today you don't know that you are one of his people. Maybe today you're not confident that you can come into God's presence through Christ's sacrifice. Well, there is a great encouragement. The way to be right with God is to come to God through Jesus and to know him interceding, speaking for you. There's nothing complicated there. There's no great work that needs to be done. There's no pilgrimage that you need to go on. It is simply turning to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and seeking him and forgiveness through him and new life through him. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ always lives. We also see that he is sinless, that he is the perfect one. He is God the Son made human. He is the one who made perfect sacrifice for sin. He is the one who has bought permanent salvation. There is no need for any further sacrifice because the sacrifice has been paid. The Lord Jesus Christ has borne it all. Then we see actions. The first action is to draw near. Verse 22. "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." We are told, we are commanded as God's people to draw near to God. That was difficult in the Old Testament, as was pictured by the tabernacle and the temple. But now we have this new and living way that we can come to God in heaven. We can pray. We can worship the living God who has made the heavens and the earth. We can worship the Holy One before whom angels bow because of who Jesus is and what he has done. There's this new and living way. We have a great priest to intercede for us. Surely we should take advantage of these privileges, that we should be those who draw near to God daily. But maybe we feel unworthy. We are all those who so often rebel against God and turn away from him, even as believers. Yes, we are unworthy in ourselves, but he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has opened up the way. He has made us clean. We have been justified. We have been declared not guilty in the Lord Jesus Christ by his grace, by his mercy. Yes, we feel unworthy, but we can still come for mercy and grace and compassion. Maybe we're shy or fearful. We need to remember that the only safe place is with our God. Relying upon ourselves and our efforts and our strength will get us nowhere. But he is gracious and he is mighty to save. And he commands us to draw near and to turn to him. How should we come? Well, we're told here that we should come with sincere heart. Or that could be translated true heart. We shouldn't be coming half-heartedly, but we should be coming with hearts full of gratitude to our great God. We should be coming in full assurance of faith. We should come as those with faith who trust in our great God, in his mercy, in his grace, in his love, in his word. We should also come, as it says here, with our hearts sprinkled and our bodies washed. The Old Testament priests, when they were consecrated, had blood sprinkled on them, blood of the sacrifice, and they were washed with water. They came clean into God's presence. Well, here, parallels are drawn by the writer of the letter to the Hebrews. And he talks here about not our bodies and our clothes being sprinkled, but our hearts being sprinkled. And not by the blood of bulls or goats or lambs, but our hearts are sprinkled, as it were, by the blood of Christ to cleanse us inside. Our insides matter before God. But he provides the sacrifice. He provides the sprinkling. And he says, washed with pure water. Perhaps it's a reference to baptism. In the book of Acts, we find that confession of Christ and baptism were often very closely linked together, that people were often baptized immediately upon coming to Christ. But it's speaking about being clean, whether it's speaking about baptism or cleansing that we receive from God. It's not about us making ourselves clean. We should have desire to be clean, but the cleansing is supplied by our Saviour. We have a great danger of routine. We can have routine in our daily times of prayer and reading God's word. We can have routine, even coming together as a group of God's people on a Sunday. But here we are called as the first action to draw near to God, to draw near to God in our prayer and Bible reading, to draw near to God when we come together as God's people. Our second action is to hold fast to hope. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We have a danger, particularly in the relatively comfortable West, of living for now, living for the joys or problems of today, for the issues around us, rather than looking forward to God's kingdom. But Paul could write to the Philippians that I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. There is somewhere better than Reading. Unbelievable as it might be, there is somewhere better than Reading. There is somewhere better than this world. There is somewhere to look forward to where we can worship the Lord God with innumerable angels, with God's people, where there is no death or pain or suffering. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, we read, we have this hope, this confidence, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In the days of sailing ships, sometimes to get into a small port when the wind was against you, you might send a small boat ahead of you with the anchor. They would then drop the anchor and then you would haul yourself into the port on your anchor chain. And it seems to be that that's the picture that is used in Hebrews, that we have this hope, this confidence as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, enters the inner sanctuary. Again, he has this picture of God's presence in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. And that we have an anchor, we have a hope that is firm and secure in God's very presence, in the place where Christ, who has gone before us, is already speaking for us. And in our passage in Hebrews 10, we are told that we should hold unswervingly to that hope that we profess. That hope should be something that grips our hearts, that motivates us, that we live for, that our desires should be to be with Christ, which is better by far. We need to think about this hope. We need to meditate on it. We need to remind each other of God's promises. After all, our passage here says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And we need to remember day by day that he who promised is faithful. Our God is faithful. He keeps his promises again and again in his word. It's full of promises. We should be those who remind each other of those promises, who hold fast to them, and that we don't build our hopes upon the National Health Service or our pension or all these things around us, but we build our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ and on his promises. The third and final action is to encourage each other. Verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 24 is not very British, is it? Verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The British thing is to say, how are you, and then move on. But here is talking about spurring one another on, like a horse rider, you know, putting their spurs into the side, or the jockeys in the Grand National yesterday using their whips to get the horses to run faster. It's about stimulating each other. It's about inciting each other. It's about encouraging each other. We should be those who are spurring each other on, stimulating each other. And we should be those who are considering how to do it. As we meet with each other, we shouldn't just be talking about the weather or the football. We should be those who are talking about how we can encourage each other. And we're told here that we should be encouraging each other in love and good deeds. We should be thinking about how, you know, our fellow members of Southcote Family Church could be showing love, how they could be doing good deeds. We should not only be considering it, but we should be spurring one another on. We should be encouraging each other in love and good deeds. It's pretty radical for the British, but it's what God's word says. Verse 25 continues, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We've had a period with COVID and lockdowns, a period when we couldn't meet together, a period when perhaps we met online with Zoom or something else, but that's nothing like meeting together in person, when we can see all the body language, when we can have those personal conversations with each other. No, it's important that we are those who meet each other to encourage each other. And verse 25 continues, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We should be those who encourage one another. The word here for encourage is that word that you might use of a solicitor. Someone who comes alongside you to help you. It's the word that's used in John's Gospel of God the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside as the comforter. We should be those who come alongside each other to encourage one another, to encourage one another in love and good works, to encourage one another in drawing close to our God, to encourage one another in God's word, to encourage one another when we're going through those difficult times of illness and mourning, to encourage one another when we're going through good times, to encourage one another day by day in all we do. So the verses we've been looking at remind us what Jesus has done, that he is the one who has paid the price, that he has opened up the new and living way, of who he is, that he is the great high priest, that he is the one who represents us, who speaks for us, and we should be those who respond individually and together by drawing near to the living God, by holding fast to that hope, by encouraging each other for God's glory. Amen.